morning. Lord bless you all. Welcome. And all your folks out there on Radio Land, as I often say, on the airwaves, listening in, may the Lord bless you. Let us sing our first hymn, number 87, "When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound." Shall we stand? That assurance?
Amen.
We certainly have the promise.
Hallelujah.
And you just talk with the Lord and get a confirmation. Anybody that listens in, for you too. Number 136, they were in the upper chamber. They were in the upper chamber. I'll wait till we get the music, that'd be good. The upper chamber, we're all with one accord, descended Lord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. know that's what we're here for? And it's coming. We always have a portion of it within our lives. That's why we're here in church. We've had a touch from the Lord. But there will be a time when it's really powerful, and I'm looking forward to that. I wonder if Brother Paul would like to open a prayer this morning, my brother.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to come into your house. That, Lord, we may come away from this world, from the crazy things going on around us, Lord, to centre our thoughts on you. I pray, Lord, you'll be here with us. Lord, you'll touch our hearts, Lord, that Lord, we may, as well as centering our thoughts on you, Lord, that we open our hearts, that you come and dwell in us. Teach us, Lord, to be humble before you, that, Lord, you may touch us and bless us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Do we have any items this morning at all? Not yet. We'll work on it. Okay. Let's sing 133, Once My Soul Was Astray, from the Heavenly Way, and was wretched and as vile could be. Okay. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down you know, when I hear that song, I sometimes consider when he reached down his hand for me, did I put my hand up to take his? But you know what I had? If he was coming for me, he was going to get me no matter what. I didn't have to try and find it. He reached down his hand, he would have taken me and each one of us, because he's promised that he will take his children. Let's sing Beyond the Sunset, number 158. Oh, blissful morning. Beyond the sunset, oh, blissful morning, when without Savior, heaven is begun. This morning ended, oh, promises in that hymn. You may be seated. Is there any prayer request anybody would have? Okay. Sharon Marriott for repairs. The Lord does it, but they may use the doctor. Okay. Sharon for healing. Any others?
Sister Joy Wall, the boss was Joy Wall. Her parents said she's been living since then.
Ah. How old is Joy now?
She's about my age.
That old? I didn't mean that personally. Yeah, really. Okay, Joy Wall. Okay. May the Lord have his way. Any others? Right. And did I see another hand? No. Do we have any unspoken prayer requests signified by a raised hand? The Lord sees those. Any desires, including you people listening in? If you have a need, you put your hand up. Might only be you and the Lord, but that's all it takes for the Lord to undertake for your need and your request. That's what we come to Him for. We come to worship Him, offer our love, and just let Him have His way. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it is a privilege for us to come before You and bow our heads and know that You are the one and only Almighty God. There is no other gods. There's a lot of make-believes, but You are the only God. You are our healer. You're also look after us, young babies coming along and the families. And You know us, each one and every one. We thank You, Lord, that when You build us inside the mother's womb, we know, Lord, that You put in every detail that we need on our lives, that we have the capacity because You've put it there, and the talent to tell others. And we ask for that to happen, Lord, that You will use us. It's no good us hiding, Lord, and saying, well, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. We are what You made us, and You put in our bodies everything that You want us to have to do Your work. Lord, we pray for these people that were mentioned that had need, Sharon Marriott for healing of her leg, Joy Wall, who's had some not very good news about her life, and just undertake for her. I'm sure that she knows about You. And there's Joshua Hughes, who's about to go in for house building. And we just think of the unspoken prayer requests of the folks that are listening. Whatever their needs are, we give it to You, Lord. And we're so very grateful that You hear every single prayer. And even if it's a consideration, you're touching our heart, Lord. We look for the blessings of God and are so very grateful that You love us. You put, as the song says, You put Your hand down to take our hand. And then the next song we had is We Walk With You, We Take Your Hand, it said. I didn't realize they were so aligned, but it is true. We know, Lord, that if we're walking along the road or some things are not quite right, we can just think about You and we know that You're there. We're very grateful for that because there's millions in this world that do not have that option because they don't know You. Well, not yet. But You will have Your way, Lord, for everyone that the Father hath given You will come. Just be with us in the service, Lord, and the folks that may not be here or still coming or wherever they are. We ask a blessing on all people who love You particularly. But we ask a blessing on those that are not well and got no one to pray for them. They do not know that they have access to Almighty God. Bless them, Lord. Cause them to know that they have a way out. Same as we've realized, we have a way out. We ask these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen. We have an item here from Sister Pauline. And Merle's not flashing her eyes at me now, so I presume she doesn't have one. Okay, that's good. I'll just mention that we have luncheon as usual today. And we just might have some visitors for this luncheon, maybe. Spoke to a couple yesterday, love the Lord, and that's Ernie and Leighton Packer. And they're in fine fettle at the moment, so I invited them along to lunch, whether they'll come now or not, but they're going to come sometime and have fellowship with us for the afternoon service. with 1 p.m. service today as usual, and then on Tuesday we have our regular prayer meeting at 7 p.m. Barbara and I won't be there this week. We've got going out of town for about 3 days, so may the Lord has a way. Thank you, Pauline.
Just give a little testimony before I sing. And when we were singing Beyond the Sunset, it always brings thoughts of my mum. It brings tears to my eyes, because the day she passed away, I was driving down the road and the sun was just rising above the hills. And that song came to mind, and all I could say was, "Mum, you're already there. You're already there." And what a joy to sing that song. Although it brings tears, it's such a hope, because there will be a glad reunion.
The world may try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world all, but you'll be just
Thank you, Pauline, and that's so true. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, even if you've got problems. You don't know which way to turn. We don't want to think of the Lord as a backstop, but He is. And we can call upon Him in whatever our need. Give it to Jesus. And we may not see the answer to the problem, but He does satisfy the soul. You know that I had that problem. I've given it to the Lord and His satisfaction right there. How do I know? Because I've experienced it. And we are very grateful to our Lord that we can be a part of it. Let us stand and sing. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. You know, He did that for us. He went there unashamed and was made shameful. And we certainly love that old cross because He did it for us. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. can never, ever take the cross at Calvary out of our lives. We wouldn't want to either. And it's what gives us eternal life because of our Lord. Let's sing 198. In these the closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords. In these the closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords. That soon of Lord, He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy we welcome His return. Maybe There's a good spirit in here this morning. I hope you feel it. I know it is. Let's sing one more because of that. And it's number 277. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. As we sing it, just believe it. Reach out for it. It's for each one of us. And you folks out there on the internets and CDs, it's for you too.
Yeah.
know that your Spirit's here. We don't have to feel it, but we do. And we're very appreciative of that, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the word comes in the message this morning, and may we just partake of what you have for us. If we want a blessing, we can have it. Doesn't matter who we are, where we are, it's ours because you are there. There can be in the northern hemisphere as much as right in this auditorium. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we're glad that you make us feel this way. It is good to feel your presence. Just bless all of those that partook in the singing and the praise, because you enjoy that. You want us to praise you. Just bless us now, Lord, as Brother Howard comes, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Lee. Praise the Lord. Glad we've got some spare seats this morning. That's good. We need them. Who believes that? You know how many angels are here? The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him. So if we're fearing the Lord, then he'll be here with us. And I believe he is here with us, as Brother Lee just said. And how we need to reach out into that dimension, as he said. We put up our hand and touch him because it's so important. And we're going to get into the supernatural this morning, so I want you to be in tune. You're not going to get anything sitting here. You've got to reach out into the supernatural realm. That's where God dwells. It's called being in the Spirit. And I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord comes down, all sorts of things happen. I've experienced that in recent days. And I just want to say that we as a people need to be focused, get our minds off the world, the things of the world, and just get all that junk out of our minds. And as Brother Paul said, all these things that are troubling us, those crazy things around about us, we've got to actually enter into the secret place of the Most High. And that's where God dwells. And I know God is real and he's longing to bless us all if we just let go. You're going to have to let go, brother and sister. You cannot just come to church, sit in your own little pew and stare at the ceiling or me or pulpit or whatever. You've got to reach out and touch him. And I just pray that God will help us all to do that, because it takes the, as Brother Lee was talking about, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come down. It's going to take the anointing to break that, the yoke, really. The yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. No question about it. When the anointing comes, it destroys Satan and all his works. And we've got to get into that place by surrendering ourselves to him, to Christ. You can't get there in your own strength. You have to look to the Lord. As we look to the Lord, then he will help us all to reach out and touch him. You know, so many people, I tell you the truth, I get it all the time, even today. People are looking at the preacher, they're looking at the church, they're looking at the prophet, they're looking at this, they're looking at that. But there's only one place, is to be at the foot of Calvary. And look at the crucified one. That's where your victory was won. That's where the glory of God will come from. And nothing else. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word this morning. You're a good lady, sister. Sister Mill faithfully gives me fresh water. Tell you what, I need it to get my old voice going. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You see, brother and sister, if you had spiritual vision, you could see yokes on people. They are there. They're binding people down. They can't even praise the Lord anymore. They can't say, I love you, Lord. They're so bound. But the Holy Spirit can smash that yoke until there's nothing left. And all it will be is the glory of God to come down upon us. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. So, brother and sister, I want to speak about the anointing. We'll break the yoke. Now, brother and sister, if you are not prepared to say, well, Lord, I'm going to trust you, well, really there's not much to do here. We've got to come to church for one purpose, to touch heaven. Who believes that? Say amen. And if there's a real desire in our heart for that, then he will come and, you know, he will meet us halfway. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. If you don't draw nigh unto God and you look out the window and think of all your problems, well, you might as well be at home. But if you're looking to the Lord to help you, he will come and strengthen you. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, and we appreciate the saints that are joining with us there in Australia, Lord, even Brother Chris Lugaluga and his family. Lord, they get up early to join with us in the meeting because they're in South Australia area. But Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them, and may you bless everyone that would be listening and wherever they may be. Lord, I know there's other saints from other places, and I don't start mentioning because some might think I'm missing them out, but you know about them. It's not what we know, it's whether you know what's happening, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that your presence would come upon us. And Lord Jesus, that you'd make this word live in our hearts, and that we'll be draw strength from thy word, because thy words are spirit and they are life. So, Lord, we're asking in the name of Jesus. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, but that you'd be with us, whithersoever we go. So, Lord, I'm asking this blessing now in the name of the Lord Jesus for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. So what is the yoke? The little boy sitting about where Brother Peter is. Last time I mentioned it, well, that little boy there. He sits in an egg. No, I said it's the wrong subject. A yoke is in the egg, but this is not the yoke we're talking about. We spoke about it. We put up on the screen one time. The yoke is two pieces. It's a wood, piece of wood, and it locks two animals together, a yoke. And they use it for all sorts of things, for towing things, for plows. But one of the main functions is to keep the animals together. And brother and sister, that's what a yoke does. It keeps two things together. And that was just a wooden frame which bound maybe two animals together. And spiritually, it is also a noose about one's neck. As I said, you can't see them, but they are there. And that locks you to an influence. A yoke locks you to an influence. You may not even want to do this. You say, oh, why am I doing this? And you're still doing it. It's because you've got a yoke on. The Holy Ghost will smash that yoke. I'm telling you. It's wonderful to see it happen. I saw a sister in America. She was bound with a yoke. And I've seen her for years. She's going around. And I said to her, shake your hand. This is how you shake your hand. She'd head down like this. No joy. No victory. But a few months ago, I saw it smashed. Broken. And she was aglow. She was free. because the Holy Ghost came down. And she was just in the spirit. Mother had to hold on to it. She was really taken. And you got to be there too. You don't get there, you'll be bound up, locked up. People can't even praise the Lord anymore. And I want to speak a little bit about that this afternoon, praising the Lord. How vital that is important for your health, for your strength. And all those things come into it. Very important. So spiritually, they have a noose about one's neck and they're locked to an influence. And Satan wants you to be yoked to him and all his devices, all his things like the internet, like sport, like all those things of the world. You're yoked into there and you cannot free yourself. Try it. You'll see how strong that yoke is. So brother and sister, those things have to be addressed. We want to be free. Who wants to be free? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be free in the Lord Jesus. May he free us today. And so the yoke is placed upon the neck. It's a spiritual neck, if we could say it like that. He wants you to go along with Satan's plan. Even if you want to do right, you're still dragged along. You know, you'd have two bullocks. One might be going along like this. They've got the yoke on, the bullock's here, one's here, and this yoke's going along, and he sees a beautiful yellow flower. He'd love to eat that flower. And he goes to get it, and the other animal pulls him away. He can't even go to do what he wants to do, because he's bound to a yoke. Now, brother and sister, you may be wanting to get closer to God. You may be wanting the Holy Ghost in your life, but you're bound. A yoke has got a hold of you, and it's binding you. And brother and sister, these things are very real and they need to be broken by the Holy Ghost. And it will not just come to church, not just reading your Bible, not just praying. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to break that yoke. Who believes that?
Amen.
And if he comes down, then he'll not only break the yokes of influence, he'll break the yokes of sickness and everything else that will be binding you. He'll do it. Brother Branham often said to the people who came to his driveway, came knocking on his door. Brother Branham, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? I'm sick. I need your help to pray for me. And Brother Branham said, well, that's very good, but what you need to do is just wait until the prayer line. He said, because in the prayer line, there's an anointing. And when the anointing's there, it'll break that yoke of sickness on your life very quickly. It really helps. It's so powerful. Well, we'll just continue on because we've got a lot of things to say about it. It's very wonderful. It will be broken. Some people are continually under bondage, always trying to overcome this, always trying to overcome that. This is a problem. Now, tomorrow, this is a problem. Next week, it's this problem. Always under bondage. It's a yoke. And we need that yoke broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, he knows how to break it. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. We start worshiping him. Some of the yokes will fly off this morning before we even get through. Brothers and sisters, the yoke is broken by the anointing. That's what the Bible tells us. We know it's true. Hallelujah. It takes God's holy anointing to do it. But there's one yoke that you need to be bound to. This is a good yoke. Let's read Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus speaking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is he on heavy laden this morning? You get heavy laden? You don't have to say it to me, but I could just say, who's wanting the Lord to come this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, that shows you heavy laden. You want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. If the Lord came this morning, it wouldn't be too early for me. And he says here, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Now this is a good influence. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Isn't that wonderful? His yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So yokes are unseen to the natural eye. These yokes are very strong bondages of the enemy. They are unseen to the natural eye, but they are very real. And some people are unaware of yokes on their life. They've worn it for years. They're so used to the yoke, so used to the influence, like somebody has a passion for something. They can't overcome it. There's something of always, what, besetting sins, they call it. They always get lured into there. They get lured in every time. That's, I'm not going to do it. When they get past, they get lured in because the yoke pulls them in. It's got to be broken. And brother and sister, I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost to break yokes. And we need it. And we're not going anywhere until those yokes are dealt with. In our own personal lives, we need God to help us. God, with God's anointing, we can be set free. You know, you may not see any yokes in the building here, but I tell you what, or wherever the people are listening, there'll be yokes out there too. It's going to take more than just our knowledge of the Word of God. It's going to take more than just the knowledge of the message. Believe me, I know what I'm speaking of, because brothers and sisters, the only time I've ever got really free is to be under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We must study the Word of God. That is very true, of course. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's a very important component, is for you to spending time on the Word instead of your cell phone. I know Sister Mill never has that problem. Or Sister Shirley, because they don't have a cell phone. But it can be anything. Spending all the time on these other things instead of time in the Word of God. Spending time where faith, it generates faith, comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it does not stop there. We need power from on high to break the yoke. Brother Brandon made this statement. That's the reason I like these full gospel conventions. You hear the people cry and shout and praise the Lord, because they come into a fellowship, a divine fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you get rid of that divine fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about. Whenever you get rid of that, you've gone back to Babylon, and you might as well bury yourself. Now, brother and sister, I know what I'm saying. I'm not just preaching a sermon. I know it by experience. This church needs to get in the Spirit more. Thank you for that. Because you know it and I know it. And all the churches know it. We've all got to get in the Spirit. We can listen and be blessed by the Word. And, oh, that's a good message. I get stuff sent to me all the time. Oh, brother, what a wonderful meeting. You know, that's good and that's fine. But really, we've got to get in the Spirit. We've all got to get into the Spirit ourselves and touch heaven. Touch the Lord Jesus. And so he goes on here. He says, you might as well bury yourself. That's exactly right. When we get to a place where we get away from the Shekinah glory. Now, the other day we spoke about the Shekinah glory in Azusa Street, and it was a cloud that high off the ground. It was that high. Now, brothers and sisters, you say, oh, that's just, that's just some fanaticism. Not when people were raised from the dead, not when arms were put on people's bodies. There is such a power associated with the Shekinah presence. And they say it was like a cloud had like fire in it. I was telling my wife the other day, Brother Brennan made a statement in the film. He says, it's all misty out there. Who remembers that? Right? It's all misty out there. You are certainly in the presence of the Lord, and anything could happen. That's what we need. We need the Shekinah presence in here where anything can happen. It won't be anything to do with me or you, but God will be here. Who believes to say amen?
Amen?
Let's say it again. Who believes to say amen?
Amen?
That's a good start. That's good. Got a young believer down there. And you know, brother and sister, it's these things are very real to me, and I have seen it in power. I've seen action. I've actually seen it.
Sometimes I can see it. I cannot explain that, but I can see the anointing on the people. It's really wonderful. And that's when people get healed and everything like we had in Louisville a few weeks ago. Because God's here. And we get God here that anything can happen. And he says here, when we get to the place where we get away from that Shekinah glory, get away from it. See, you may not always see the Shekinah glory in the meeting, but it still can be still there. I mean, in Azusa Street, they saw it as a mist on the floor, and it started to rise up until it filled the entire building. I might show you that video. It's from people who were there. They're just little kids at the time, but they remember it very well. And it filled the entire building. When the Shekinah glory got into the building, then great miracles started happening. We're getting back to that. We're going to get back to that. Not because of us, but because of God's sovereign grace to us. We get to the place, we get away from that Shekinah glory, Brother Ren says, that praises of God, that fresh anointing that breaks down on the religious barriers, breaks down all the religious barriers. That's all the yokes we're speaking of. And he says, and the things that makes us one in Christ, free from all condemnation. That's what we need tonight. That's what the church, that's what the divine fellowship is. So, brother and sister, I'm just coming to you on the level that I want to come to. And, you know, we can say, well, God's using us and all that. That's very nice. Praise God, he will anyway. But for me and my house, we want to see him here. When people come through those doors, something's going to happen to them. Who believes that? Say amen. Won't be you, won't be me, won't be the music. It'll be God present. Breaking the yoke, the biggest yoke we have. I want to announce the biggest yoke. The biggest yoke you have is your flesh and your mind. Our mind is okay until it conflicts with the Word of God. God's given you a mind, but if it starts going contrary to what the Word says, then it's a yoke that's binding you. When the anointing comes upon a person, the flesh and the human mind is overcome. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, brothers and sisters, I remember in Adelaide, was an Adelaide Sister Jan, and was at a convention in the country, an old tin shed. And I started to sing. June was there, I think. Yes, my family. And Brother Brian was leading the singing. And you know what happened? The Shekinah glory came down. It came down. I was there. Was I ever? And it came down, and I was sitting about where Sister Ganano was in the meeting. And it rolled down. And I just exploded. Literally exploded. I just started praising God at the top of my voice. I was meant to be a preacher in that meeting. I had to blew my voice in one hit. It was so powerful. And it just came down like waves. I cannot explain it. It's better felt than telt. It's better to feel it than to be explained to you. When the glory comes down, it just takes you up. You're not conscious of other people. That's the least of your worries. You are in the presence of the Lord. All you see is that brightness of his presence in him. You want that, don't you, brother? Well, may it be so. So if we really hunger for this, it comes down to this being sincere and being hungry for God. And when you really start to get hungry for God, he will be pleased to come amongst us. It came down in waves of glory. And I just catch my breath, and then it came like it almost came over the pulpit. It's just like I could sort of see it. It just sort of came down like that, went over the people, and everyone was just gone. No one said, now, brothers and sisters, raise your hands, forget it. All hands were up. Everyone was praising God. You don't have to be told to praise God when you're there. When he comes down, it's just all glory to Jesus. The 24 elders, they took their crowns off and they threw it down before the throne and said, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to be praised." And brothers and sisters, we get that same Shekinah glory. When it comes down, that's what's going to happen. And I want it. Who wants to say amen? If you thirst for it, you want it. Say, "Lord, I want it. Lord, I want it so much." He wants to hear you say that. And then it's eased back. And then another wave came down. And you know what? I thought this was just so wonderful. Brother Brian thought he'd better go on the program. He made a big mistake. He said it. He wanted to get on the program, get the preacher up when the glory was running. What do you want a preacher for when he's there? Anyway, to cut a long story short, I thought, well, maybe that was just me. No, I was really gone. I want it. If it happens this morning, I'll be the happiest man on earth. I want it to happen. It's nothing to do with people. It's nothing to do with me. It's all God. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I've just felt something funny. So we got on the line and we went to going to the cafeteria to have a lunch at the convention. And I was just waiting in line with the rest of everybody, and I had two sisters in behind me. I tell you what they said next. Bless my soul. They said, not to me, to each other, "Did you feel the waves? Did you feel the waves of his glory?" It was true. It's exactly, it was like a wave after wave after wave. And Brother Brandon, we read the quote the other week. He said, when the resurrection takes place, the glory of God's going to come on the earth, a wave after wave after wave, and the dead in Christ are going to come out of the graves. What a day. What a day. Brother and sister, you won't have to worry about playing a piano or an organ or singing. It'll just be everybody in the Spirit glorifying God. You won't have a song leader. Sorry about the leader. Probably lose your job. So let's sing hymn number. That everyone will be worshipping in the Shekinah glory. It's coming. And then that glory comes with power. And our bodies will start changing. And this flesh will put on a glorified body. Now my wife's dreamt it. I have dreamt it. Who's ever had dreams of the change? I've actually seen you've had it too, Diane. June's had it. Brother Brian's had it. We're actually changing. It's just so wonderful. Just before you're taken up. And it's going to happen, but it needs the Shekinah glory to be down on the people. I just like talking about it. I just like, you know, to stir up our pure minds. What is it to remind ourselves of these things, to encourage ourselves about these things? So may God grant it to us. When it comes, it takes control of you. When it comes, all the junk is kicked out. Brother Ram talks about the storm. It comes down on the lake and it stirs everything up like troubled waters. It stirs everything up and all the trash and all the rubbish. I've got to switch back to New Zealand language. And all the rubbish goes onto the bank. But what brought it? The stir. As long as a lovely, peaceful day, I'm a believer, praise the Lord, nothing happens. But when the Holy Ghost comes down and starts stirring you up with that Shekinah presence, if you have a hunger in your heart, brother and sister, you'll want it. You'll know I'm telling you the truth. That Shekinah presence does something, gives you that changing power to get out of here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we read, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcame them, because greater is he that is in you." What's that? The Holy Ghost. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And it says in 17, John 17, 2, Jesus said, "As thou hast given him," talking about himself, "power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And brother and sister, God has power over your flesh. He's got power over your yoke, the thing that's binding you. You know, it's a real good thing to get down on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I have a yoke. I'm reading too many novels. I don't think anyone reads novels here. But I'm reading too many novels. I'm spending too much time on the wrong thing. I'm hardly reading my Bible. I'm hardly praying. Lord, I want this yoke to be broken in the name of Jesus. He'll do it. It'll be by a presence that comes on your life. So we see it's going to take more than just study to overcome a bad habit. It's going to take more than just study. People say, now look out in the Bible and we'll see that Timothy says about this, or others say this is how it's done. Oh, that is true how it's done, but it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. The anointing and the word come together and Satan's got to get out of your life. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's really wonderful when he does that. Young people, it takes more than going to church to overcome the world. Sorry, going to church is not going to cure you. You need a real good dose at the altar. Well, I'm talking about the altar, not necessarily this altar, but wherever you get into the presence of God, he burns out of you the world, the junk, the time wasters, the things that's taking us up to destroy you. The yoke is out to destroy you. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to rip that thing off you. Brothers and sisters, otherwise you're going to hell. You need to know that. If Jesus was here, he'd be shouting louder than me. That's what's going to happen. We need the Lord. And we need to wake up and realize the hour in which we're living. We need to be, God, send us down that anointing. Shake us, Lord. I said to the folks in America, God needs to come and slap us a few times. Wake up! Wake up! It's later than you think. The Lord comes next week. Oh, why has the Lord come? Why has he come? You were told. And you didn't take heed. You said, oh, just Brother Howard, just talking. No, it's his word. And I don't want any of you to go to hell. I want all of us to be there. Who believes we can all be there? He's opened the way for us to be there. All we have to do, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. People, the Lord Jesus will never send anybody to hell. He came to save. Why are they going to hell? Because they rejected to receive salvation. He's not against you because you've been a sinner. That's not your problem. It's what you've done to accept the way of salvation. Away from that sin. You're born in sin. You had no option. You're born in it. But there's a way out. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. So we need that power. Brother and sister, I can't explain it, but when he comes, it's there. It's just, you can almost handle it. It's wonderful. It's going to take more than just these things to set us free, to overcome the world. Finally, this anointing we receive will one day change our flesh, as we said earlier. It will quicken us in power, take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You won't be taking your cell phone with you. Praise the Lord. You won't be. It's just those things are finished. It's just all over. I'm not against the cell phone. You can need it sometimes, especially if you're lost. But brother and sister, we need to get closer to God. We cannot serve God without the anointing. I said, we cannot serve God without the anointing. You say, well, I go to church and I take my Bible and I've been to Bible study and I know what to do and I know what to say. That's very nice, but that's not good enough. You know, the disciples, when they found a man that was crippled, they said, oh, John, have you got your Bible there? Of course, didn't have Bibles then, but no, they went down and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, the anointing, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And a man that had been crippled for many years, maybe from his birth, I'm not sure that one was. But the thing is, he stood up upright and he went walking and leaping and praising God because of the anointing of God. Now, we're going to see miracles in here. We need the anointing. No, it's nothing to do with me, because I've been over in America and I've seen the miracles take place. They've told us about it. Miracles have happened in the meeting. It's nothing to do with me, but the anointing came down. Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
So we, you know, Jesus himself, listen carefully. Everyone listening, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus himself needed the anointing, Paul, so do you. He needed it. Jesus could not minister without the anointing. Now think on that for a minute. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 4:17. You're a good audience. You're listening. I love it. Because God can help you. Luke 4:17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when it opened the book, he found the place where it was written. It's about himself. Isn't that amazing? He turned the Bible to where it spoke of him. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus Christ, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, brothers and sisters, you need the anointing to preach the gospel. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you look in your Bible, there's no full stops along there. It's all a continuation of the thought. You know why? It takes anointing to do those things. And that's what we need here. And Jesus read the prophecy concerning his anointed ministry. We read this as direct from the original Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You see, brothers and sisters, there's people bound right here in the city that needs to be set free. I tell you what, it takes more than a committee. It takes more than the police. It takes more than all these things, and that's okay, but it won't work. I'm telling you now, we need the anointing. That'll set them free. Cast out those demons. The binding these people. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. You know, brothers and sisters, people talk about suicide. Oh, there's a lot of suicide in Gisborne. There is a lot of suicide. But I tell you, all the meetings and the workshops will never do it. It takes God's power to cast those demons out. I told them that too. So you're wasting your time, brothers. Forget it. I appreciate the desire to help people. I want to too. But you've got to get people under that Shekinah glory. And they've got to come to church. They've got to be in a place where they can hear the word of God to create faith. To appoint them that mourners in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. A lot of people going around mourning. Oh, everything's so tough. Listen, what we need, brothers and sisters, is the oil of joy. The oil of joy is from the Holy Ghost. It comes upon you. The joy of the Lord comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord will get rid of the mourning. The garment of praise. Remember, I'm going to speak about praise this afternoon. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, people have a spirit of heaviness upon them. Oh, they're so depressed about this. They're so depressed about that. Oh, they're feeling so bad. I really feel bad for them because it's a horrible thing to have and it's very real. But the answer is the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, we need the garment of praise, which is God puts on a person to worship him. And when you start worshiping the Lord, the heaviness will leave you. The depression, all those things will leave you. You need to start worshiping God in the spirit. Absolutely. I know it. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now we need the anointing to overcome the devil. Brother Branham needed the anointing. As I said before, he Encourage people to get in the prayer line because there's an anointing at the prayer line and they receive their healing right then. Elisha, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, slew 400 false prophets. Now that is an amazing thing. I don't know how old he was, but he was a prophet. He probably had one sword and he slew the lot. But he was anointed. When the anointing comes, look out, Satan. He doesn't want us to have the anointing, but we are going to get it. I know it's coming. I want it to come on me. I want it to come on you. And he turned the whole nation back to God. How? By the anointing. When the anointing filled, when the anointing lifted off the Elijah, he ran for his life because of one woman. Isn't that amazing? When the anointing's not there, you just become like a kitten. You can't do anything. But when the anointing comes, you're a mighty army. Wonderful. Samson, under the anointing, slew a lion and 1,000 armed soldiers with the jawbone of a mule. Just a dry jawbone. It's not the jawbone. It's not Samson. It was the anointing that came on him. And God used him, but he anointed him. If we were going to overcome Satan, we need to be anointed. If we want to see the victory in here, we've got to be anointed. If you want the victory in life, you've got to be anointed. These things are real, brother and sister. I know it's true. There were yokes in Samson's life. He had a woman that bothered him. They tried to yoke him with new ropes. Just snap them like that. Because the anointing was on him. David also was anointed. He slew a lion and a bear. Then he destroyed a giant. How? With the anointing. Now those are just some examples. There's many more in the scriptures. So what about our services? We sort of draw this up. What about our services here in Gisborne? Or our services in Australia or America, or where people are that are listening. Where is the victory? Some feel having a good preacher is the answer. They actually do. They believe we get a special preacher in that's going to change everything. It sounds good, but it's wrong. Maybe some feel having some good, real good singing will bless the people. That is true. And so does the preacher. But what makes all the difference is the anointed presence of God among us. I really believe that with all my heart. Who believes it? Say amen, nice and loud.
Amen.
Amen. It's the anointed of God amongst us. In a meeting, people can be set free from the yoke of heaviness. They can be set free from the yoke of condemnation or the lack of assurance in Jesus Christ. No matter how good the singing or the preaching is, they sit there like a big cloud is over them. There's two clouds, you see. The cloud of heaviness and the cloud of the Holy Ghost, the Shekinah presence. I know which is stronger. Praise the Lord. It's the Lord coming down. So let's ask God to do it for us. Some people come to service carrying all their problems through the door. They think that if they can't bring all their problems into church, somehow they'll disappear. No. Bring all the family cares and burdens of daily life, they'll disappear coming to church. No. Maybe the husband or wife had a disagreement coming to church. And we don't realize something. We can bring that spirit right into the house of God. And the Holy Spirit has to get out there and seek it out and destroy it. Sometimes we cannot explain. There's just a spirit of heaviness gets upon you. You just feel down. You just don't know what it is. And this bondage has to be broken through by God. The preacher can't do it. God has to deal with it by the anointing of His Spirit on His Word. I have seen it work so powerfully. I've been very blessed, brother and sister. I wish you were there. Let's read from Isaiah 61, verse 3. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. As the word is preached, faith cometh by hearing. God begins to anoint the preacher and the people. We must all press into the Spirit. We must all yield to the Spirit. Then God can do great things for us. You've got to come to church with this desire. Lord, I'm going to really seek you. I'm not even going to open my eyes, you know, sometimes. Don't look at people. Don't look at me or Brother Glee or somebody and say, oh boy, he doesn't look right. That's not going to get you in the Spirit. You know, silly things like that can actually upset you. It's good to come down and say, Lord, I've been praying this morning before. How many? You don't have to say anything. How many prayed before you came to service? Really prayed that God's Spirit would move this morning. And that is a very good calculation of where you're at. Or you've got a yoke of bondage about you. You're not even praying unless you ought to pray. You haven't prayed for the service, you haven't prayed for the preacher, you haven't prayed for the song leader or the music or anything. You just turned up. Now that's between you and God. Brother and sister, we're going nowhere until we deal with these issues. God begins to anoint the preacher and the people. We must yield to the Spirit. So every bride member before and now will be anointed. We too have to be anointed. We cannot exist without it. Well, I certainly cannot exist without it. I need it. I need it, brother and sister. I proved it. We cannot do anything for God without it. Daniel says in 11:32, but the people that do that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Brother and sister, if you want to be used of God, you've got to be anointed of God. We're not just having a show. Oh, let me do this. I'll do that now. Can I be this? Can I be a preacher? Come on. Listen, brother and sister, we need to be anointed. Called of God. Before Pentecost, the church, the disciples walked and talked with Jesus. Oh, they knew him. They were the campaign people. They got the people together. They greatly rejoiced in the word. They were with the word of God in flesh, Jesus Christ. They enjoyed each other's fellowship. They went to their conventions. They had 5,000 men and women. They went to big meetings. They saw the miracles, Mount Transfiguration. They saw Jesus walking on the water. They're feeling really great. But listen, I tell you what, that'll never change you. If you saw Jesus here this morning, it will not change you. You have a problem. The problem is going to take the anointing of God on you. People can be in the presence of God, see miracles happening, and sit there and nothing happened to them. Because they're not in the right place with the Lord. They wonder why they're not getting through. They're not getting the Holy Ghost. It's because they're caught up with something. It's a yoke. They were sent out to preach even. But then the pressure came on. Now let me say this, brother and sister. When the pressure comes on, it shows us exactly where we're at. They fled. And they left Jesus to stand alone. How will you act under pressure today? It's easy in church to raise your hand saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Some people have trouble doing that in church. But are you willing to suffer for him? Or will you flee? Like Peter denied him publicly. But in church, around the table, he said, Lord, I'll die for you. I'll die for you, Lord. Great testimonies in the church. But out there, you can't even pray at the restaurant table. Somebody might see you. Now, brother and sister, all these things are reality. These are true. Plus many other things. I'm just scratching the surface. It was a great time to confess their faith. And all the disciples confessed their faith. We'll die with you, Lord. The disciples lacked something. They really did. They lacked the anointing to overcome. They're like frightened kittens. When the pressure came on, they ran and hid and locked the doors. They locked the doors. They said, no way. No way we're going to let anyone here. We're just going to have our own personal meeting. They were afraid. They had not been to Pentecost yet. And their confessions were just words. That's all. Just words. You believe? I am a believer. Just words. Wait till the pressure comes on. You'll find out if you're a real believer. And I want to say this to us all. The pressure is coming. Sure, they meant it. The disciples meant it. We'll die with you. But they had no power to keep it. What about you and I as we close? After they forsook Jesus and fled, locked the doors, barred the doors for fear of the Jews. You know, Peter was challenged by a little girl. He said, I know not the man. This is what he said about Jesus. I know not the man. He lied. He wouldn't even stay with Jesus. People say, are you a Christian? Go to church. Deny the Lord. If somebody asks you a Christian, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Just say it. I know Brother Lee does. And I do too. It's too late in the day to be pussyfooting around. Say what you are. Don't be undecided. Stand for the truth. The Bible says that in John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled together for fear of the Jews, then Jesus stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The yoke of fear could not keep Jesus out. He'll come to you. You might be full of fear, brothers and sisters, about this or about that, but he can still come to you. I love that. I said to Brother Brian Freeborn yesterday, the man in the pool, he could have no way, 40 years, he hadn't walked, just laid down. He couldn't even get into the pool. There's no way no one has put me in the pool, Lord. But you know what? Jesus came to him. Isn't that wonderful? He couldn't come to Jesus, but Jesus came to him. And you might feel all bound up and you might have all these fears and all these yokes binding you, but if you say, Lord, will you come to me? Oh, I tell you, brother and sister, one word from the Master, it's all over. Amen. It's just so wonderful. We know what happened before and after when Peter was in the day of Pentecost to fill the Holy Spirit. From being locked up behind the doors and frightened like kittens shaking, when he got the Holy Ghost, men came around and said, these men are filled with new wine, when they saw them speaking in tongues. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto him, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. What a change around. Brother and sister, when you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll say, hearken unto my words. It won't be your words, it'll be his word. You say what God said, and watch God come down and confirm it. He will. He'll always honor his word. So what a turnaround from that. Why? Peter had the anointing. He preached to them. We know what happened. 3,000 souls are added to the church. They're all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And are filled with the Holy Ghost. What a meeting. 3,000 souls that hardly fit on the section here. Why? Because of the anointing. So what about us today as we close now? We all must have the same experience, the overcoming anointing power in our personal lives, in our services, in our witnessing. It will set the captives free in our midst, heal the sick. Not just quoting scripture or quoting Brother Branham, that's okay. But there will be, we will possess a living, holy anointing to set the captives free. Who believes that? What a change in Peter. When I said before, he came down and said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. He didn't go run off and get Jesus. He did it himself. So brothers and sisters, as we close, just let us ask the Lord, how do we receive this holy anointing? And then I'm closing. How do we receive it? Who's hungering for that real, true anointing in their life? If you just knew how wonderful and sacred and precious it is, you would be. You're tired of just saying, I believe the message. You need to get more serious with God. So how do we receive this blessed holy anointing? By living closer to God. You can't live closer to God and filled with the world. Watching the wrong things. It'll drive you away from God. How do we receive this blessed holy anointing? By living closer to God. By spending more time in private prayer. Feeding daily on His Word instead of on other things. Not just when we come to service, but the preparation of our heart during the week. Our thoughts, our words, our desires must be pleasing to Him. I want to read you a couple of wonderful quotes on that. God publicly said about Jesus, this is my Son whom I am well pleased. Can God say that about you? This is my Son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Brother Ram said, one day while he was in the temple burning incense, Gabriel, an angel from God, came down and stood by the altar of incense and said, Zacharias, fear not. Your prayers are heard. Why, he must have been praying. Before God can hear your prayers, you must have been praying. Now, if you want God to hear your prayer, Brother Branham says, send an angel to your home. Live right. Do right. Treat everyone right. Be right before God. And God will grant that to you. See what kind of a home an angel comes to, a home that keeps the commandments of God, a home of people that walks upright before God. If you want the honor of an angel visiting your home, have a home ready for him to visit, prepared and ready under the blood of the Lamb. The angel of the Lord comes to such places. So, to conclude, I say this. We all need a greater anointing to break the yoke in our life. Maybe you never realized it, but you've got a yoke. I have a yoke I've got to deal with. And I have dealt with some by the grace of God because He has helped me. His anointing has really dealt with me on it. Who wants to be set free from the enemy's yoke? Raise your hand to God. Are you hungering for a total deliverance to be set free? You know, before you know you can be set free, you've got to know that you have a yoke. You draw near to God, and He will draw nigh unto you and anoint you. Don't hold back. Press into God. It's not a striving, brother and sister. It's a trusting God. Oh, God, just trust Him. Say, Lord, I want to have everything in my life that's displeasing to you to be taken out of me. I want a sweet hunger and thirst of the Spirit to be in me. Whether I'm in church, whether I'm at home or down the street, wherever it is, I'm hungry for God. And if you know, brother and sister, I promise I'm going to close after this. You've got to get an atmosphere of looking around you and yielding to God. You know, when I go for walks on this park here. And I see the birds and I see the ducks. And I see those things and I feel God in them, the trees and the flowers. I said, Lord, that's you. Become sensitive to God. Don't be so hard-hearted, your mind all stuffed full of this and that. Get alone with God and spend time with God and appreciate what he's done for us. Who appreciates that they've been saved from sin and taken out of hell and are going to be put in heaven? Say amen. Amen. See, learn to appreciate it and constantly commune with him. That's what it means to yield to God. To yield to God is to spend time and thinking about him. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 63:6. So shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, all of us here and those listening with us, Lord. We know it takes your amazing grace to come down upon us, Lord, to help us. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that we'll become more serious about the things of the Lord, knowing that we really need that anointing, that Shekinah presence to come into our life. As Brother Branham spoke about, if we don't have that, he said, we might as well just bury ourselves. I need it, Lord. I know you've been with me and you've helped me and you promised to do it. And I believe there is more for me yet. And I believe there's more for other brothers and sisters. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to draw close to you. Not close to the church. Not close to... All these things are good, Lord, but it's more than that. Not just my wife serving the Lord, but so that must be good enough for me. No, that won't. Or my husband serving the Lord, that'll do for me. No, it won't. We've got to have our personal walk with thee. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help me. Help my brothers and sisters to see this. Lord, when the thirst comes on us, when the hunger for the anointing, the hunger for the Shekinah presence comes on us, Lord, it's the most wonderful thing any human being could have. I pray, Lord, that you grant it to us in this late hour, Lord, as this world is just spinning out of control, losing it. Lord, and you're coming. We just want to be ready. I just pray, Lord, you'll just move in every heart. Help us, Lord. Lord, you know that's my hunger, my thirst, in Jesus' name. Bless everyone here and those listening in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than bread or wine to me, for I love my pilgrim.
Close to me, all I want, my dear.
sing this song, it really behooves you to take these words on board. Do you really want to get close to the Lord? Or are you just happy to go along, coasting along the way you are, when you know that you're battling with a lot of things? The only way to get free is to get close to Him. He'll set us free. He'll break all those yokes, those bondages, constantly battling us. You're not the only one going through it. We all go through them. But we need to get close to Him. It's a beautiful song written by Fanny Crosby. And brother and sister, we need to take these words as a prayer. Don't sing lightly. God appreciates it when we mean it. So we're going to sing this verse 3 again, this verse 3. And may we draw close to Him. Does anybody desire prayer for anything? You're welcome to come. Brothers and sisters, don't take the message lightly. It's serious. And it's for you, and it's for me, and it's for everyone listening. Lead me through the veil of shadows. Bear me all life's before sea. In the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee. Let's sing verse 3. Lead me through the veil of shadows.
Lord Jesus, we do want to walk close with you, Lord. Each of us know that, and how much. You know where we've failed. You know what our desire is. You know we'd like to. But then, Lord, if we're walking close to thee, all our problems are in your hands. Because you can take it. You can handle it. And you know what we're trying to do. Help us to be what you want us to be, Lord Jesus. And those that are listening in, bless them as they commit their way to you as well. We love you, Lord. Lord, we're about to have fellowship and luncheon here. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll be with us, close to us again as we eat. We thank you, Lord, for the food you've supplied. And be with us, Lord, in the 1 p.m. meeting. And that we may have other visitors here at that time. And would like to be close to you then as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.